have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Cranda, with co-host Nils Smith, who is driving around in San Antonio. And so if you hear like choppiness, it's because he's switching from cell tower to cell tower, trying to avoid to be on the episode of Serial or something right now. So I can't tell. So Nils, what are you doing in San Antonio?
What's up, Jay? I'm here in San Antonio, doing some meetings at CBC Community Bible Church. And we, I've got the whole family with me this trip and seeing some friends and family in the area as well over here. So anyways, excited to be on the podcast, excited about this show. And we have some new friends, but kind of some longtime friends as well. And so let's just get right into our conversation with them. Jay, if you want to set them up, introduce them, and then let's start talking social media.
Yeah. So if those who are listening and watching and so forth, if we sound feisty, it's because we've been having a lot of fun and it's only been a couple minutes. So we got Justin Dean is on, a director of the nonprofit Ministry Comms, which is really cool. You became a nonprofit, which I might have some questions there about that process.
Yeah, totally.
And CEO of Doxos Social, Refined Shirts, co-founder of that church conference. I mean, I could just go on. And on, you also love Grace and tacos, which is cool. So thanks for being on the show, Justin.
Yeah, man. I am a big fan, so super excited to be here.
We had some technical issues with the podcast. We'll explain more and have fun with it at the end and why we had issues. But Van, on the board of the Cluo Project, has a consulting company, helps churches, businessman, all sorts of things. Him and Justin co-founded that church conference. So anyways, here's Van.
Started out and still do have a State Farm agency in outside of Atlanta. And I've got a company, social media consulting company called Relational Equity. And I'm the co-founder with Justin of that church conference. And we met Justin, how you want to meet everybody. It was over a latte in a coffee shop and we gazed into each other's eyes and just knew that we had to spend a lot of time together. And we
had at first sight.
That's awesome. Yep.
At first, so tell me what. And a lot of people, it'll sound strange. You even saying social media agency. What does that mean? You know, so social media, even in the church world, is almost like a new concept to even then have an agency about social media. What do you do? Who do you do it for? How does that work?
So the Relational Equity Company. It's a consulting company for nonprofits and churches. I'm a one trick pony. I lean really heavy into using social media to listen to what your people are saying so that you can deepen relationships, you can deepen retention. A lot of nonprofits are dependent upon referrals. So, you know, how are you using what people are posting to go deeper with them relationally? And so that we can be a little bit more like Jesus, because Jesus always knew what people wanted and needed before he met them. And I think through the use of digital and the way we're trying to find community now, we can do that if we just put a plan in place to listen to what people are actually posting.
That's awesome. So, and as church leaders, we're often more interested in the megaphone than we are the telephone and listening. Wow. How can you maybe even digging into that? How does someone better listen? Maybe even under your hood, how do you help people listen better on social media?
Well, yeah, it's just having people slow down long enough to realize that the stuff we've been fed for years, which is totally true, and that content is king. Nobody can argue that. You have to have good content. You have to have a reason for people to visit your site. And that can be a real struggle, especially in smaller churches and small nonprofits. Like, how do we come up with content? Well, when you consider that the people that are either buying your product, showing up at your church, or donating to your nonprofit, without them, you're nothing. but all of them are looking for a sense of community somewhere. And in the digital space that we all live in, that's where we're heading to. We're looking for community online. And so we're sharing a lot of that information. So I get them to slow down and put a strategy in place that says, hey, how do we start to listen effectively on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat? How do we listen for really the pertinent poop that people are sharing so that we can document that, follow up with that, and know more about them? Because we're all freely sharing information. And so we help generate systems for them where they can listen just to be following up and going deeper with folks.
I love it. I love it. I want to kind of flip the conversation to you and your unique perspective, because I think church leaders need to hear that so much, that listening side of social media. You're now on a different side of the boat, I guess, now helping church leaders, having been a church leader now on the other side, and you probably now see a bigger picture. Where is it that you feel like church leaders really miss it when it comes to social media and are missing that mark?
Yeah, I mean, definitely seeing it from a different perspective now. So now I work with a lot of different churches, big and small, and I was the communications director at Mars Hill for a number of years, and we didn't do this well at Mars Hill. We did it to an extent. And so when I got out of there, I was super excited to be able to explore new things with different churches. And I've learned a ton from Van. Just his whole relational equity model is brilliant. He's really been able to just articulate well this philosophy that I've carried for a while. And I think where pastors and churches really miss the mark is, you know, like you said, they are using Facebook and Twitter and whatnot as a megaphone. I mean, every time I go to sit down with a church, they're on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, a few others. They know that they're supposed to be in that space now, but they don't have a clue, a plan what to do with it. They treat it as an advertising channel. And they're just, you know, getting out messages on events and things like that. And they're not really using it as a communications tool to get to know people, to build relationships with them, to engage with them. You know, like Van said, there's so much opportunity to listen and see how are these people wanting and needing to be ministered to, and how are we meeting that need more so than inviting them to an event. You would never do that with somebody walking into the front door of your church. You would never greet them and say, hey, check out this event and come sit over here and here's what you should do and you should tithe and you should give and blah, blah, blah. No, you would say, hi, I'm Justin. How to meet, you know, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? Do you go to community group? Have you been here before? Let's get to know each other. And you could do the same thing on social media, but everyone's kind of missing the mark.
Which I love how you guys are doing this conference, because even when I saw it from a distance, the people that you engage, I love how you're setting it up as it's a conference, but I mean, you're kind of having fun with that church conference but it's a workshop. So it's a lot of relationally, even the way you're setting up the conference is that you're not making, it's not necessarily, you're going to have experts, but you're going to have a lot of conversation. So that, just for everybody, I want to ask where you guys go for kind of inspiration, but for those who are listening, just to have it on your radar, it's thatchurchconference.com. There's one in Atlanta coming up in September 20th through 21st, and then May in Chicago. And so have that on your radar. And I know obviously that's probably, you guys probably use that avenue as learning, right? So you guys go there and you're talking to people and discussing. What are some other places you go for inspiration, for communication, for even to go next level with social media? What are some of your avenues?
Yeah, and just to clarify, that Chicago event is going to be actually a one-day intensive workshop. So that's really going to be hands-on training. It won't be a lot of theory. We'll have all of our speakers will kind of give an intro to it, and then you're going to get down and dirty learning how to do, how to listen on social, how to communicate via email marketing, how to, you know, do communications in your church, and you walk out of there with plans. So as far as getting fed, there's a hungry community out there of people doing this in the church that feel really lonely. And you know, when you identify who those people are and you give them a space to come and talk and share ideas, they're hungry for that. And there's a couple of Facebook groups that I'm in that there's some people out there doing some really cool things from a digital standpoint, from a communication standpoint. But I would encourage anybody listening, if you're in the church world, that's great. Learn from people in the church world, but man, step out into the business world. Mm. and what can you learn from the business world, and vice versa. If they're on, I can see some of the people that are online that are viewing right now. They're you know, small business owners doing their thing. You know, you can learn from the church as well, hopefully, how to do relationships. But you know, books, obviously, I'm a disciple of Jesus for my faith, but I'm a disciple of Gary Vaynerchuk for my social media. And you know, I think that's great to learn from a guy like that that's out there really kind of on the cutting edge and knowing what's up has been invaluable. But finding that community, finding some people that are not stuck, you know, just in their little world, but you know, looking elsewhere and wanting to grow as, you know, as leaders in that thought space, and as someone who just wants to especially help the church grow in that area, because that is one lacking space.
So I love the way you said that, the disciple of Jesus first and then Gary V after. I love that. I'm going to steal.
They're very close though. They're very close.
Do you like the Jets? That'd probably be the follow-up. Niels, wait, I'm sorry.
So here's a question I have about the conference. I love the philosophy behind it and what you're doing. The question is, you guys are kind of digital guys in many ways, but you're doing a physical conference. Why not do a digital conference? Why do a physical conference? What's the crossover there?
Yeah, I'll let Justin answer that.
Yeah, so there are a number of digital conferences popping up, which are great. A lot of good friends are doing those, and we love them. But our whole thing, we started this out with a phrase that we threw around the first time that we met and started brainstorming on this, and it's that we want to be all about practitioners over theory. And when you do a digital online conference where you pay a fee and you get to watch a bunch of pre-recorded videos, you know, one after another, it tends to be nothing but theory, kind of high level stuff. And what we wanted to build is this workshop style. Like, we will never fill a stadium with this conference. We might do 100 workshops throughout the year, but we will never let it get big to the point where we can't work one-on-one with small groups, because we want to be hands-on. We want to be practical. We are church leaders teaching church leaders. We're not conference speakers and book authors trying to build up our platforms or sell books and stuff like that. We're actually trying to help the church and build up these church leaders. Everyone who came to the first Atlanta conference, there were 130 people there, and most of them, the majority of them said, hey, I started in this position 2 weeks ago, or I've been in this position only a few months. We finally got the budget for a social media coordinator or a communications director, but I have no clue what I'm doing. 3 weeks ago, I was the receptionist or, you know, whatnot. And we expected that to some degree, but it was just really neat to see that the majority of people were in those types of new positions. And so we're able to really get in there and help them and say, okay, here's how you create a Twitter list. Here's how to properly set all your settings on Facebook. Here's how to actually engage with people. Here's how to go find content. Here's how to create an image on Canva. Like, we actually get into the weeds and start working on that stuff right there. And that's why we just right away said, no, we're not going to do anything online. We may, you know, put the sessions on. We're planning to do that this year so that you can kind of rewatch stuff, but it's really, really important to be there in person.
So for the May 3rd event, you said it's an intensive workshop. So does that mean like you guys are like creating communication plans on some level in all these areas for everybody who shows up? Is that kind of what's happening?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. So each of us that are, you know, on the docket to speak, it might be 10 or 20 minutes going over the high level overview, but then everybody opens up their laptops and we're going to get to work, so that you're getting your money's worth. You're taking, you know, the theory, you're putting into a practical application so that you can leave there, go back to your church and say, here's what we can implement right now because I've already done it.
Yeah.
And it's people that are going to, you know, we're going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf for some folks, but you know, we got to get the church starting somewhere and implementing ideas that really have been around for a while in the business world, but it's time for, you know, the best story that was ever told in the history of mankind, the story of salvation, for the people in the church to get really good at telling that story.
Cool. I have a selfish question to ask you two. So last night at my small group, one of the couple's oldest daughter was there, and she's 16. And she came to me and she said, she made a joke. She asked why I was on Snapchat. So she kind of she's been a teenager and she's having fun. I've known her since she was, you know, like four. And so she was having fun with me. Like, I don't get, like, why are you on Snapchat? So, like, I reminded her, you know, people are on there from like 13 to 34 and, you know, I'm 28. Okay. So I still got 6 years. Like, don't be on there, okay? So I just immediately felt old and I'm not old. So I was like trying to, it was like hilarious. And I guess old is relative. So as a church leader, somebody, is it okay for me to be on Snapchat, and or are you guys using Snapchat?
Oh, we're going to have very different views here. So I'll let Van go first.
Oh, come on.
Don't use any stories I shared before to tear me down. Okay.
Come on, Dean, step up, man.
I'll go. Fine. My whole thing with Snapchat, Van's like 50, so he's the old guy here. But I'm 33 and I can't understand the dang app. I mean, I feel very old when I'm using that thing. It is like the worst UI, the worst experience ever. I just don't understand it. So there's that. Two, it was created by two guys in college who wanted to share D pics with their girlfriends and have them disappear 30 seconds later. And I'm all for redeeming. You can edit that out.
Nope. We go live.
I'm sorry, I can't stop. I should mute my mic.
I told you I didn't want to go first. But I'm all for redeeming something and the church and pastors and Christians using something that was maybe built, you know, for something else, using it for good. I get that. But my whole thing is it's just stupid.
It's just stupid.
Like, I can do the same thing. I can reach the same audience on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and it's a much better experience. The only reason you use Snapchat is because you want your stuff to disappear. And I know it's evolved from there, and it has all these cool, super cool features, and you can make yourself barf out of your mouth. I think that's pretty cool.
I'm in business with this guy.
Do you want to read? You want to redirect here, counselor?
Oh my gosh! So, okay. From just a storytelling standpoint, when there's things on digital, whether we're on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, we're fighting over that digital space. What makes us stop scrolling? Is there a story being told? And when I get on Snapchat now, the friends that I follow, the people that are following me, are I'm 46, not 50, by the way, but still.
Whoa.
What I'm able to glean is people telling really good stories. And some of them make me laugh. Some of them make me think. Some of them educate me. And there are people in that space that are doing it so well. And they're lifting other people up. I'm not following anybody that at some point in the week, they don't stop and say, hey, you need to go follow these accounts because here's why. Here's what they're doing. And so if we're looking to tell stories really well, nobody's got a better story to tell than the church. And if the church can't be in that space, learning how to tell stories and reach people that are in that demographic, then I think we're missing the point altogether. We don't even need to be doing digital conferences. If we can't get on a platform like Snapchat and use it for the good that God created us for, then we're missing the point altogether.
Yeah. And I'm snapping you right now, Justin. So let's just... I'm not going to do it.
So he is on Snapchat.
I have a username everywhere.
I feel like we could have had a simple answer. Just said, we follow Gary Vee and Gary Vee tells us to be on Snapchat. And so we do it.
Hey, he invested in it like 2 years ago and he just now got on it. That tells you something.
Yeah.
Wow. This sounds like First Take on ESPN. And I'm not Stephen A. Smith. So.
I love the differing opinions and I think the tensions that are always going to be there with various social networks. So I guess furthering that conversation, Snapchat is kind of the new sexy social network out there. What are there any other trends out there social media wise or maybe even just technology wise that you guys are, both of you maybe together or separately getting really excited about?
Justin, you got it?
I love that default.
Oh, I think no. He froze again, so he's out. So yeah, it is going to default to me. You know, it is really difficult to stay on top of that. And so for anybody listening, you know, if especially in the church world, you can get overwhelmed. You can get absolutely overwhelmed with things that are coming out. You know, I mean, if you're not on Peach, are you really on any social media right now? But there's like that went over so many people's heads.
Wait, what's Peach?
Yeah, it was this thing that 2 weeks ago. It's gone now. Though
here's my desire. I would love, and I go to arguably the biggest church in America. I would love for a church somewhere to be the absolute authority when it comes to Facebook. That their Facebook presence is leading so many people to Jesus. Mm. They don't pay attention to any other platform. They just want to crush it on Facebook. Same thing with Twitter. Find that one organization, that one church that has bought in and said, hey, it's too important. We have eternity at stake. We have the easiest platform we've ever had in the history of man to reach people for Christ. And the church, for whatever reason, is turning a blind eye to that and coming up with more excuses not to do it than to do it. And so whatever we can do as a conference and as leaders to help churches get past that stigma and really make a difference on a social media site, I'm really not concerned with what the next big thing is right now, because we haven't even started to tap into the world's largest country on Facebook.
So as a consultant, Van, where would you say, if you were telling a church, go all in here, where would you tell them to go all in?
Well, it depends. Are they anywhere at all right now? And if they're not, I'm going to take them to Facebook. But because that's the most eyeballs. And from a marketing standpoint, to borrow from the business world, that is some stupid cheap marketing rates to reach the exact demographic you need to reach. And target marketing has never been better, and it's only getting better because of the analytics and the data that Facebook's ever able to collect. So I would start there simply because everybody's on it, and it would be the easiest way to reach, I think.
Even if people aren't engaging with the content you're putting on Facebook, when they're checking out a church for the first time, they are going to go check Facebook to see if you're on there, and they're going to get, you know, a 30-second overview of what it's like to be there. They may never visit that page again. They may never interact with your content again. But I think it's definitely important to have a strong, good presence on it that shows me what it's like at that church, what they're all about. These days, people are going to check that more than they are your website sometimes. So I totally agree that that's where you need to start, do that well, and then evolve from there.
Yeah. I felt like, Justin, when you were at Mars Hill zoned in on YouTube, it seemed, from the external perspective, looking in, like you guys crushed YouTube. Yeah. Was that intentional, or did that just kind of morph or develop, or what was your strategy there?
No, that was completely intentional. I mean, YouTube is a huge, huge audience that's completely just not served well. And I think a lot of churches, again, they go, okay, we need to be on YouTube. Cool. Go put our hour-long sermons on YouTube. And then they see that nobody's watching them. So we were very intentional every Sunday to say, okay, what are at least one, you know, 3 to 5 minute clip that we can pull out of the sermon and throw up there. And we usually did 2 or 3, and we would put them up there immediately. We'd put them up there throughout the week, and we'd link back to our full sermon on the website. So it was a way to drive traffic back. But people love watching short little videos. They can watch them on their phone. They're easy to share out. And, you know, Pastor Mark was really good at just giving us kind of chunks of topics. So it was easy to cut up.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Exactly. Yeah, maybe it was the content that made us do so well on YouTube. But
no, but I love that angle, because we were just having, I think I was sharing last week with you, Niels, and we were just talking that, you know, we're in this midst of this redesign of our online campus. And one of the things that's still kind of like we can't touch is like that hour. It's like you can't cut down the flow of our service. But one of the things we threw out was, what if we did, like, underneath the video, we had like shareable content, but it was like 3 or 4 YouTube clips that, you know, maybe, you know, somebody can go, and or if we gave them the ability to share different marks. But it's like, I'm glad, Niels, thanks for bringing that up, because yeah, you guys killed that. And that's something that the churches, we just love our hour and a half service. Like, we don't want to, we just upload it. And we
forget. It's so important to get the whole thing together. It's like, think about the last sermon you saw. Do you remember the whole thing, or do you remember the one little nugget that spoke to your heart? Like, that's all people remember anyway. So
I was talking, and I don't know. I was curious. This would be my last question, but I was working with a friend. I was helping him get a church off the ground, and I was doing some Facebook promotion for him. And I was promoting some videos on Facebook for him. and it was getting tons of views, but I was letting him know, hey, just by the way, you probably should change up how you do your first 15 seconds because you lose people on promotions in the first 15 seconds. You're going to lose 60, 70%. So you probably should say an engaging word. The first word out of your mouth shouldn't be, hey, welcome. It should be, hey, are you scared? Because you're going to lose them. And I said, I know that's a transition because that's Facebook video versus, you know, because now Facebook viewers are so inflated right now that you got to do that. But I don't know. Do you guys recommend Facebook boosting? I was just curious.
Yeah, I use it all the time. Absolutely. Like the cost is just so cheap. I mean, you can spend $5-$20 here and there and have it reach, you know, super far, do super well. You can't do that anywhere else. You can't zero in to such a tiny little target audience anywhere, like not even on Google, especially not on Google. I agree. Well, going back to what you said a second ago too, on like the intros and stuff, that's one pet peeve I had at Mars Hills when we started really getting into podcasting and doing several different podcasts. We had like a 6-minute intro and it was super cool and appealing, which was awesome the first time you hear it, but it took 6 minutes to get to the actual fresh new content each week. And I hated that. It was
ridiculous. 2x speed through that. Yep.
Yeah. It's like everyone's just hitting the 30-second button, you know, six or seven times. And I agree. You need to just get right into it. You know, YouTube, whatnot. It all needs to be the same.
Sweet. So I've got a question and then we'll wrap up with this question. And it's kind of a tangent. I really want to dig into Twitter a little bit. I think we've got to have you guys back though. And maybe even have a full conversation about Twitter. There's some really unique things happening there. But I got an email from Warren Bird, who's a regular listener, and he shares out our podcast through Leadership Network. And he asked me about LinkedIn. LinkedIn was just recently in the news, you know, their stock dropped and some negative trends, yet they seem to own the business space. One of the things he asked me though, is there an opportunity there for ministry leaders? Because you don't see any churches really, really digging into LinkedIn at all. What do you guys think? What do you guys think of LinkedIn? What do you think of it as for ministry opportunities? What's out there?
Well, they've caved, I think, but in a good way. There's so many abilities to tell stories now. There's blogging that can happen. So, and I think people have just from a relationship standpoint have used LinkedIn so poorly. Just, you know, inbox spamming. Hey, we need to meet. Hey, I need, you know, you need to buy this for me. I need to be your vendor. So from the church's perspective, again, it's another space to start telling stories and to start lifting other people up and showing on LinkedIn. If the more you recommend other people and you're genuine and you're showing, hey, here's who has helped us in our community. Here's some local organizations that are really doing well from a ministry standpoint, from a nonprofit standpoint. If you can consistently do that and not worry about your messaging points, but worry about using it as a networking tool, that's exactly what it is, and lifting other people up, the traction that a church would get off of that would be amazing because there's literally no one doing it at all on any level. And so somebody could take over that space without really trying right now.
So
I totally agree.
Wait, and I want to hear you expand on that, Justin. But Van, coming back to your point of tell stories. We hear that all the time in social media. Tell stories. Church leaders, that just goes right over their head, I think. What's a story that churches should be telling? How do they better tell stories?
See, that. All right, I won't go on the tangent of how in the world does that go over their head, because look, the church should be about life change. You came in one way, you're going out completely different. And those stories are going to impact somebody. That's why we encourage people to have public baptisms and tell your story. And here's who Jesus is to me. Here's the impact he had on my life. Here's who I was, and here's who I am now. And in a digital space that we live in, those stories make people stop scrolling. Those stories resonate with people. And it's not making fun of anybody. They're not cheesy. It is somebody's real life change. And to be able to tell those stories of what other people are doing in their community for those life changing, oh my gosh, that well is so deep. And I just, like I said earlier, we've got to stop making excuses to not use digital, and we got to be really getting rid of some people that have no idea how to or choose to.
Yeah, I love Kevin in the chat is saying Snapchat equals stories. It's all about attention. If you can save your stories and use them on other networks, you can grab them, which was an interesting idea, like grabbing their attention and or hooking them in some way, in a compelling way, back to Jesus, which I think you can do that on Snapchat. But you, I want to thank you guys for engaging and, you know, in using all your wisdom on this podcast and just sharing everything that's going on. Somebody else is asking about Google Plus. We probably will deal with that another time, and or even if that's still alive, I'm unaware. And I want to thank everybody for working with us. We use Zoom's webinar feature for these, and we record them live. And right before the show, I was telling Van and Justin how good I like it. And in the midst of this, I've gone down twice, and Justin has come in at like, it's for some reason we've killed Zoom's webinar feature with four people on HD video, and I don't understand it. But anyway, so if you guys want, go to thatchurchconference.com. We're going to put all the links to social for Van and Justin and so forth. The intensive workshop's coming up in May, another one in September. Justin went out while I was saying Zoom's webinar feature was not working.
Yeah, this is great.
I hardwired in just for that feature, so I don't know if you guys are on Wi-Fi or not.
I've been going in and out on this thing the whole time. Yeah, so I don't know if this worked.
I don't know. Anyways, regardless of that. And Justin, I want to let you know, we do have, Niels and I did a $5 Snapchat course that you can buy if you want to go next level.
Don't even go there, buddy. Wow.
Oh, okay.
You know what that means, Van? You and I need to do one for $4.95.
Hey, all I know is I'm looking at the viewers that are online, and three of them are from my Snapchat.
Yes. Yes. I love
it. Wow, your little Snapchat group. Are they all 12-year-old girls?
Okay. Okay. We need to go. Okay. Wow. So for everything else about the show, go to socialmedia.church, sign up for our newsletter. I'm going to call it a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.